For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can we just bow briefly for a brief moment of prayer? Pray with me if you will. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Lord, we invoke and invite your Holy Spirit to join us in a special way. We pray for your anointing to destroy and break yokes. God, just come in the room and bless us to really partake of the essence of what Palm Sunday is all about. It's all about worshiping you, honoring and glorifying you, and understanding what that means as it relates to servanthood. Bless, O God, this word for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Open our hearts and our minds that we might hear from you this day. In Jesus' name, I praise you and I thank you. And the people of God agreed in prayer and said, amen. 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 I am so excited to share what God has laid upon my heart from the Gospel according to Luke. If you have your Bibles, so read along with me from the screens. I won't read all of this, and there are three scriptures that I'm going to share this morning before I actually get into the preaching of God's Word. The first one comes from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 44. Listen carefully to the Word of God. When he had come near Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from you, from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground. I think we've read enough. I think we get a gist and a picture of what Christ endured. And also, can you bring up Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And last but not least, from the book of Philippians. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. This is the word of God, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Thank you so much. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. I hope that I have not confused anyone with three scriptures from the opening. I want at this time ask you to direct your attention to the Gospel of Luke. And before I get into the narrative, the telling of the story, I just want to share that Max Lucado has a book out. Numerically, it's 316. And I thought that this was ironic. Today's date is March 16, 2008. And that book was birthed out of the text, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I believe Luke's gospel expresses love in action. That when Jesus was making His way, entering Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, that's a true picture of God giving us His greatest gift. In other words, this is a processional prelude of what Christ was ordained to fulfill. I believe it was Winston Churchill who said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Back to Max Lucado, all around the world, churches are on this day targeting neighborhoods and calling family members who are not in Christ, and they're sharing that one scripture with them in the name of promoting God's love. What an awesome campaign for the kingdom of God. And He's doing an excellent job regarding that. So I just wanted you to keep that in mind. For God so loved the world that He gave. In the Gospel of Luke, I believe that Luke is also giving us something in addition to how we traditionally perceive this text. If you look carefully within the first 6 to 7 verses, Luke takes his time and he explains the untying of this colt. We were trained in seminary that whenever a gospel writer is overly emphasizing a story, it's because something important is there to be understood. And so Luke is there. Luke has given us 6 to 7 verses of this passage explaining the significance of this colt. And I begin to probe and I begin to pray upon that. And this is the revelation that I received from God. This is the experience that I gained from this text. Perhaps Luke was sending us a message. Perhaps Luke used the symbolisms of a colt being tied to a pole, and he adds this footnote: this colt, this donkey, had never been ridden before. In other words, he had never experienced the presence of someone on him. But Jesus orders the disciples, "I want you to go into this village, and I want you to go and untie this colt." Colt was tied to a pole. And so he says, when you get there, if someone asks you, "Why are you untying the colt?" tell them this. Tell them that the Lord needs it. I want you to remember that. That the Lord needs it. So they go into this village and they find the colt as Jesus predicted. And as they are untying the colt, someone asks, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they turn to the person and said, "The Lord needs it." And they were able to free the colt, deliver the colt, if you will, and share the colt with Jesus for a sacred purpose. And the purpose was for Jesus to come upon the colt and to use the colt as it relates to the fulfillment of God's purpose and will, headed to the cross. And I began to pray upon that. I wonder if Luke intended for us to understand that we as disciples and evangelists of God are assigned to go and find spiritual colts. People who are tied to bondage. People who are suffering in addictions. People who are bound in themselves and don't know the love of God. People who have never experienced the compassionate presence and touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wonder if Luke was scratching at that, warning us to go find some lost colts. And it connects with the message of the good news that we've been assigned to go into all the world and do what? Share the gospel. Make disciples, baptize them, and share the love of God with them. I wonder if that's an expression on Palm Sunday that we're to gain, an understanding that we're to gain. How many of you realize, how many of you know some colts in your own families? How many of you know some colts in your own neighborhoods? How many of you know some colts teaching in the school systems right now? People who feel abandoned, but they've never experienced the compassionate touch and presence of the Lord Jesus within their lives. Isn't that powerful? Amen, church. I just wonder if our assignment this morning were to find some colts. Well, let me tell the story. As Jesus is now upon this colt and he enters Jerusalem, people are shouting and praising, "Hosanna to God in the highest." And they are taking off their coats and their robes and their garments and they're laying them in the ground as a sign of honor. And DJ, you're correct. He didn't come in on the backside, on the back of a war horse, a white horse or a black horse. Colonels did that in the name of war. Lieutenants did that in the name of war. Generals did that in the name of war. But Jesus was sending us a message that I come in peace. I come with peaceful intentions. I come in the name of love. I'm the humble Lamb of God. And so that's why I said in the opening, God so loved the world that He gave. He's given us a precious sacrificial lamb. Amen, church? And I just wonder if you were to go along with me. We're in Jerusalem. The sun is shining and the crowds are shouting. People are waving palm branches. But in Jesus' heart and mind, these are His final moments. He's walking His final and last miles. I brought a clip with me this morning from the movie The Green Mile. And I want to share this clip with you. And I want you to think, how would you spend your final miles on the earth? Enjoy this clip. That's one of my favorite movies, by the way. How many of you have seen The Green Mile? Mostly everyone. So you already know the characters and the awesome ministry that Brother Coffee served, how he served. I want you to also understand that Coffee was on death row for the murder, supposedly, of two white girls. And how he was on death row, yet he was innocent. Jesus on Sunday is entering Jerusalem, but on Friday he's going to be crucified. But he was innocent. Coffee, in this movie, he spent his life, his final moments on the earth, serving. You all know the story. He healed the lady who had a tumor. He restored light to a mouse who was a precious friend of another inmate. He healed the guardman of kidney stones, and he was able to enjoy life. What about you this morning? How are you? Let me ask you the question this way. What if the future of the world depended upon how you chose to spend your final moments IKEA. Think about that. Yeah, let that percolate a minute. What if the future of the world depended upon how you chose to spend your final moments here, now? What would you do? Would you help someone? How would you serve? There's another movie, I don't want to get ahead of myself, called The Bucket List. Has anyone seen The Bucket List? That's another good one that really gets you to thinking. I went and saw this movie, The Bucket List, with Morgan Freeman and also Jack Nicholson. And on The Bucket List, they were both diagnosed with terminal diseases. They had less than 6 months or so to live. And Morgan Freeman came up with an idea of creating a bucket list. Before they kicked the bucket, they wanted to accomplish all of these things on the list. Isn't that wonderful? Talk about proactive planning. So they had this list. Jack Nicholson gets it and rewrites it. And they include on this list skydiving car racing. And I wanted to go travel and see the Himalayas and all of these wonderful things. But my question to you, if you had a bucket list, what would be on that bucket list? Would it be to serve the poor? Would it be to feed the hungry? Would it be to help someone? What's on your bucket list? See, if you're like me, on my bucket list, I want to travel and see the world. I want to eat in the finest restaurants. If I was on death row and only had a week left to live, I would try to eat all the good food I can eat. I would try to share with my friends and enjoy and laugh my head off. And that's a lesson that we ought to live life as if it's our last day here. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's why that crowd was shouting, Hosanna to God in the highest. They were praising him and waving palm branches, honoring him as a king. Now I need to go a bit further and scale back some of the crowds. In the crowds, people had expectations. They were anticipating something. But Jesus did not walk according to their expectations, because I think the closest example is today's present election. We all have picked our candidate. Amen, church? We all know which candidate we want to be in the White House. And I'll tell you why. Because we have expectations. We are hoping, number one, that they lower these gas prices. We're hoping, number two, that the housing market gets out of the slump. We're hoping for universal health care. We're hoping that the educational systems become improved. The No Student Left Behind Act is, you know, we're hoping that all of that becomes revamped and that the next leader will bring about some great changes. We're hoping for that. These are our expectations. And the same thing with the crowds. They had expectations that Jesus would be this political figure to deliver them from Roman imperial oppression and imperial powers. They wanted deliverance from being exploited. They wanted deliverance from being oppressed. And so they cheered for Jesus. But Jesus was not walking on this road according to their expectations. Jesus was not walking on this path according to their anticipations. Jesus, out of love and the spirit of servanthood, was walking this path according to God's ordination, according to what God had ordained for him to experience. And you know, I did some research. I started praying about looking at the movie clip and reading the scriptures, and I began to think, I wonder if Jesus had a bucket list. I think he had a bucket list. Mark talks about it. Luke talks about it. John talks about it. They all talk about it. And I want to share some of that bucket list with you this morning. And the important thing, the neat thing about the bucket list is after you accomplish the task, you are able to add a check by it. So this morning, I want to invite you to participate. After I call off what he accomplished, say check with me. Amen, church. The first thing on Jesus' bucket list as he entered into Jerusalem is that he said, you know, I want to enter on the backside of a donkey. Check. The second thing that I'm going to do is when I get into Jerusalem is that I'm going to cleanse this temple of all the money changers and all the robbery. I'm going to make it a house of prayer. Check. The third thing that he allowed himself to endure was the bitter questioning of the scribes and the high priests. Check. The next thing he did, he got a little hungry and he says, I want to have a final meal with my disciples. So he had what? The Lord's Supper. He had the Last Supper. Check.
Even before he got there, he allowed himself to be anointed by Mary, where she took an alabaster box and began to pour oil all over his feet. Check! He endured witnessing the widow's offering. She put in 2 coins, which equaled a penny. Check! Thursday night, he invited his disciples to a prayer vigil in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, I need you all to pray for me. I'm going to go over here and pray. And within this moment, it's where he went through his challenge of saying, you know, God, if this cup can pass me, allow it to pass me. But you know what? Better yet, not my will. Let your will be done. For him to grow to that moment, that's another check. Are y'all with me this morning? It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that the soldiers then came in and arrested him. Check. Next thing you know, he's brutalized. He's beat. They kick him. They mock him. They sock him. They spit on him. They press a crown of thorns in his head. Check. And oh, here comes Friday, where they press him on the cross and they crucify our Lord. And he endures the bitter experience of being pressed to a tree, being treated like a curse. Check. Saturday, he is now dead in a tomb all day long, sleeping. Check, he accomplished it. But yet on Sunday morning, the good news, the foundation of the Christian church, is he got up with all power in his hand. Check, check, check. That's good news, church. And you know, in the spirit of Palm Sunday, I want us to do something. If Jesus was walking in down this aisle right now, I wonder, what would you say? How would you worship him? How would you applaud his efforts? How would you thank him for dying on the cross? What would you do to honor him? Or would you allow your embarrassment to hinder your praise? I said it last week in the chapel. Whenever you allow fear of embarrassment to hinder something that God is leading you to do, you have just participated in idolatry. Because you've allowed that embarrassment to take the seat of God. Nothing should stop us from worshiping and praising God. Nothing should stop us. Jesus even said in the scripture, if you embarrass before me, before men, I'll be embarrassed to represent you before my Father. So this morning, I want to invite you. This is the one side of the parade. This is the other side of the parade. We're going to do something weird. I'm just giving you a heads up. If Jesus was walking down the aisle, all right, all of you on my right, stand up. We're going to participate. We're going to have fun with this. If Jesus was walking down the aisle, I want you to scream to the top of your lungs, Hosanna to God in the highest. 1, 2, 3. Do you think they can do a little better than that? Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. Praise God. Now I want this side to join us. We're going to try to outdo them in praising God. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna to God in the highest. Now let everybody give thanks. Let us do it together. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna to God in the highest. Come on, let's sing. Thank you for participating in Palm Sunday. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. Let us now have a brief moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice. We thank you for your entering Jerusalem. We thank you for your enduring the brutality before the cross, enduring the grave, and getting back up. In essence, you were born to live. You lived to serve. You served unto death, and you rose again. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we praise your holy and your righteous name. Amen.